Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this Sabbath day, Lord, for this opportunity to come together as like-minded believers, seeking your will, Lord, listening for your Holy Spirit, and waiting for your guidance. Lord, we've come upon a season where this world recognizes the birth of the Savior. Many people have taken this season and turned it into something completely worldly, completely selfish, and have completely denied and turned their eyes and ears away from the true meaning behind why, as Christians, we celebrate. And so, Lord, help us as we dig into your word to be reminded of just the significance of what this holiday should mean to each one of us. Lord, cleanse me just now. I pray for a burning coal from the altar to touch my lips, and that the Holy Spirit may use me this morning as a vessel, as an instrument, that the words that come out would be from the throne and not from my own will. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's that time of the year. Just a few more days, and we get to celebrate a day that the world recognizes, at least. We as Christians know that it's not really Christ's birthday this time of the year, and really, the background to why this date was chosen has nothing to do with Christianity. But I think we can take some liberties at this time of the year as Christians, because people's hearts are a little more warmed. People's minds are a little more open. And sometimes we can use this time to touch and reach somebody who maybe other times of the year are almost unreachable. I remember when Crystal and I got married a few years back at our wedding shower that the church held for us. People came and brought gift after gift after gift. And we opened the gifts and we held them up and we got our pictures taken. And we celebrated with our church family there in Indianapolis and our extended family and our friends who came as well. And I remember that we got several gifts that were in boxes, and so of course we didn't open the boxes right away. We just saw what it was, and one that sticks out in my mind was this crystal serving platter, and it was in a box, and you could see the picture, and it looked really nice, a very typical gift that you would receive as a couple. And we packed all these things, and we got married, went on our honeymoon. All these things were packed up, kind of stored at either Crystal's family's house or my family's house. You see, it wasn't until the day we got married that obviously we moved out of those houses. So all of our stuff was there. We went on our honeymoon and we come back and we rented a U-Haul truck and we loaded all of our stuff and we moved it down to Tennessee. Well, I mean, months went by and Crystal could maybe correct me. She's got a better memory about these things than I do. But it might have even been a year or two since that wedding shower. And we were kind of going through some of these wedding gifts that we'd never opened. You ever had that happen? You get a bunch of things and you just haven't had a need for it just yet. And then all of a sudden you think, oh, wait a minute, there's that serving platter that somebody gave us at our wedding shower. So we were going through the closet and we found this wedding gift. And maybe it was a bowl. I can't remember if it was a platter or a bowl. Crystal would remember that better than me. But we opened it up. And inside the box where this thing is, we open it and pull the dish out, and a card fell out of it. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. And so I picked up the card, and I pulled the card out, and I began to read it. And it says, "Dear Judy, I sure hope you enjoy the bowl or the dish, whichever it was. Love so-and-so. We had become the victims of the re-gift." And I wonder today, have any of you been a victim of regifting? Perhaps you've been the culprit. Have you ever received something that you thought, I'm never going to use this? And so you say, I'll tuck this thing away. Maybe a church member is going to get married soon, and we can give it to them. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but take the card out of the box. Crystal and I got a good laugh out of it, and we were pretty chuckled. But you know, this is something that goes on, I think, every year. A lot of people have things laying around the house they've never opened. They blow the dust off of it, and they say, I'm never going to use this. And so they wrap it up in pretty paper and put a bow and put someone else's name. And the person that gets it never knows that it's something that you didn't go out to the store and buy, but they think you went out and thought of them and picked it up and said, I'm going to give it to you. But I tell you, there is a gift that each one of us has today that we need to re-gift. And it's a gift that we need to re-gift over and over again. Listening to the monologue just before the song made me really think of just how important it is that we re-gift this year. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born. This is one of the most beautiful prophecies in all the Old Testament. Unto us a son is given. Jesus didn't just merely come down to mingle with us, but yet the Bible tells us that he was given to us. In the Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 16, we can recite it from memory. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him as a gift, as a ransom, because he knew that we were all lost and we all, like sheep, have gone astray. And so we were given a son, we were given a Messiah, we were given a possibility of reconciliation to God. Can you imagine how bad God's heart broke? Thank you. Can you imagine how bad God's heart broke as he looked down and watched Eve take that first bite? And then as Adam came along, as he was deceived and he took the bite. Can you imagine how bad God's heart broke? Just in that instant, when he saw this beloved creation, the very ones who were created in his own image, choose to deny him, choose to trample upon him, and choose disobedience and disloyalty rather than obedience and loyalty. The Bible tells us in Romans, if you'll turn with me there, Romans chapter 5, verses, beginning with verse 12. We have a contrast given here in Paul's writings to the Romans, that the first man that was created was Adam, and he came and he was to be perfect. He was to live sinless, and he was to live in God's image. The difference between Adam and Christ is that Adam came and he was made perfect, and his nature was not one that desired sin. He came and he was perfect, and his nature was completely in harmony and union with God as creator. And it says here, though, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, Adam came, and he was our first father. But unfortunately, he made a mistake, and he passed something on to all of us that breaks our hearts. It's something we all have to deal with. And until the Lord comes in the clouds, we're all destined to. And that's death. He spread death to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him. Adam was a type. Christ is the antitype. who was to come. But here's the best part of all, folks. Yeah, Adam passed on to us a sick disease called sin. A disease that we struggle against every day. A disease that just tries to ravish us. A disease that if we hang on to our fleshly mind, if we do not allow ourselves to be transformed but yet conformed, that we will be succumbed by this illness. But in verse 15 it says, the free gift, you hear that? The free gift is not like the offense, for if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. There was a man who came, he was given, a child is given, and this man came, and his grace is sufficient to cover all the sins of the world. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. How many offenses are you guilty of this morning? How many times have you sinned against God? How many times have you, like Adam or Eve, said, Lord, I know what you've told me to do. I know what you've said is the right thing to do. I know what you've said to hide my eyes from. But instead, I think I know better than you, God. Are you guilty of that this morning? It says, though, that the free gift which came out of many offenses resulted in justification. Just like that, the sinner who truly repents, and the sinner who is truly converted to Jesus Christ, in that moment, is justified by one gift. Amen? For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace, I'm in verse 17, and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift. Often we go Christmas shopping and we're walking through the mall, and with the cost of things these days, inflation, recession, all these wonderful words that we love, we think, oh my, things have really gone up. It's expensive to have Christmas these days. But the best Christmas gift we ever got happened about 2,000 years ago. He was a baby who was laid down in a barn because there wasn't any room in the inn for him. He was your creator. When you read in Genesis and it says that he reached down and he formed man out of the dust of the ground, and then he breathed into his nostrils life. God gave his spirit, his spark of life to us. He breathed in to Adam this spirit of life. And yet that same God, that same creator God, chose to step down off of the throne. And he didn't have the privilege of the first Adam. You see, the first Adam came, and when he was entered into the world, there was no sin. And when he was entered into the world, he did not have a desire or a nature to sin. And yet Christ took on our very nature and came as an antitype, only this time to be victorious and to destroy sin and to give us the ability through him to overcome. And it doesn't cost us a thing. When you're thinking about what gift you could get for somebody or how much you should spend, remember, if you belong to Jesus, you have a gift right here in your heart. It doesn't cost you anything, and you can re-gift it over and over again. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. There's a condition there, will be. Unfortunately, Adam came and ruined it for all of us. Jesus came and fixed it for those of us who will respond to Him. Amen. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. The grace is so much more powerful than your sin. The grace that Jesus laid up for us as He came and as He was victorious over sin, as He died on the cross and His blood ran down it, that grace is so much more powerful than any sin that could ever have a hold on you. Verse 21, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life in Christ Jesus. Jesus came. The first gift that He gave was Himself. We're told that a child is born, a son is given. John 3:16, God gave. He's constantly giving to us. God is painted by the devil as some tyrant that is evil and that is trying to destroy you and that is ready to flip the switch on you at any moment that you misbehave, that a lightning bolt from heaven is ready to come down and strike you where you stand. That's the enemy. That's not your God. Your God loves you so much that He's not slack concerning His promise to come back and take you home, but He's long-suffering to the point of being weary because He wants to see you saved in the kingdom. And His grace that He laid up, yes, it is free, but it was the most expensive gift of all. It was the most invaluable gift of all, and He gave it to you without a price to you. Yesterday, Crystal and I and Hayden went to lunch together as a family at Pizza Hut here in Midland. And as we were sitting there enjoying the buffet and probably having too many slices, the waitress came up and said, oh, by the way, there's no tab today. Somebody else in the restaurant has decided to pay it for you. Now, I felt very guilty by this because I think there's so many people that do not have and that need. And I felt so unworthy to receive that gift. But I think to myself, that was just pizza. Jesus came and He paid the tab. There was an outstanding tab to be paid. And Jesus paid the tab, and the Holy Spirit gently whispers in our ear and says, by the way, there's no cost to you today. It's been covered. Jesus paid the gift. He paid the price. He gave it to you as a gift. He doesn't hold it over your head and say, you owe me anything. But He spreads His arms wide open, those nail-pierced hands for us to see, and He says, you know what? I paid the tab. This gift belongs to you. Now won't you respond and receive it? And He has His arms open to receive each one of us who will come to Him, who will accept the freedom from sin, the freedom from bondage. He gave us His grace. He gave us His life. Imagine being an omnipotent God, all-seeing, all-knowing, can be everywhere at once. From everlasting to everlasting, no beginning and no end, equal with God, one with God, part of the triune Godhead. And then to step off the throne and to take on this garb of humanity riddled with sin and to be victorious and to never once disobey His Father's will, and now throughout all eternity will be in the form of humanity. Can you imagine? Have you given anything up like that for somebody you love? We can't really do anything quite like that. But how often does it pain us to make a little sacrifice for somebody? To be a little selfless from time to time? When we're tired and we want to sit on our lazy boy a little longer, to get up and actually go to work for God. Yet Jesus gave up everything and he doesn't hold it over our heads. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, it talks about the gift that Christ gave, and it says that this gift is so good that it's indescribable. We cannot describe it in human terms. And so this year, as we are thinking about what am I going to get for my son, what am I going to get for my daughter, what am I going to get come Christmas morning, while it's fun to be festive and to share with one another and to give gifts and to receive gifts, that's a fun little tiny part of the season. Let it not be our focus this year. Because James 1:17 tells us, if I can turn there smoothly, James chapter 1, verse 17 tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Yeah, you might want that new iPad this year. You might want that new cell phone. You might want that new car. And while all those things are nice, we know that every good gift comes from above, and that every perfect gift comes from our Heavenly Father. And the best gift of all that He ever gave was when He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. We don't have to face the second death that Revelation talks about. We don't have to die for eternity. We don't have to be separated from our Father any longer. Because if we turn and believe, if we repent and are converted, as it says in Acts, we can be restored to that relationship that He originally planned on. And when we receive this gift, we can re-gift it and share it with others. And you know what? It won't be tacky like when somebody opens up a gift that has someone else's card in it. Instead, if the hearer is ready and the Holy Spirit has plowed the ground for you and you plant a seed, it'll be the best received gift ever. You see, the gifts that come from heaven that Jesus gave are the fact that Jesus built a bridge across the divide, the huge great divide, the gap that happened between us and God when our first parents denied Him. Jesus ridded the veil in the temple that separated us from God's presence. He gave us the ability to become sons and daughters of God. He gives us strength in our weakness. He promises us victory over temptation and sin. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And He ultimately became sin that we could become righteousness. In the book, The Desire of Ages, she says that He was treated the way we deserve to be treated, that we might be treated as He only deserves. He took on the punishment and the death that we deserve, that we might receive the life, the victory, the abundance that only He deserves. So what can we re-gift this year? There's a Christian contemporary song that I heard years ago, and I'm not going to try to sing it to you because I don't remember it well enough and I would botch all the words, but the gist of the song was that as we are called into the image of Christ and as we are reconciled to God our Father, it is our duty as men and women in this earth, as born-again Christians, so to speak, that we are to be Christ to the world. That when others from the outside look into us, They don't see somebody puffed up with self. Instead, they see self decreased and they see Christ exalted. When they look upon you, they can tell you have spent time with your Savior. Jesus asked Peter just before he ascended into heaven, "Peter, Simon, do you love me?" And what did Peter respond? "Oh, yes, Lord." And this happened a few times. And Jesus said, "If you love me, feed my sheep." There's a gift that needs to be given this year. It won't cost you a dime. You can put your credit card, your debit card, and your cash away. We need to go out and feed the sheep. We need to tell them about a Savior who left his throne and became a baby, who grew up to be a man, who went through every single temptation, every single trial, and much more than we could ever imagine, and was victorious to the end. And then he stepped upon a cross which he did not deserve to die on. And while he was there, had us on his mind, each one. And he died that day so that we could live. He came, it tells us in Luke 19 and verse 10, to seek and save that which is lost. The Bible says there are many sheep which are not yet of this fold. Isaiah tells us that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. It is time to come back to the shepherd. And it is time for us to re-gift the most precious, indescribable, heavenly gift that God has given, to tell others about this message and to bring them to the foot of the cross. If you don't spend a dime this year, spend some time. In the book Messages to Young People, page 407, it says the heart belongs to Jesus. You see, he doesn't hold anything over our heads. He doesn't want us to pay him. He doesn't want us to earn anything from him. Instead, he's paid the price. He's done it all, and he just wants us to come back to him. We need to take his gift and re-gift it to the world. But are you prepared to give Jesus a Christmas present this year too? It says he has paid an infinite price for the soul, and he intercedes before the Father as our mediator, pleading not as a petitioner, but as conqueror, who would claim that which is his own. He is able to save to the uttermost, for he ever lives to make intercession for us. She says a young heart, but I'd like to say any heart. Any heart is a precious offering. The most valuable gift that can be presented to God. All that you are, all the ability you possess, comes from God, a sacred trust, to be rendered back to him again in a willing, holy offering. You cannot give to God anything that he has not first given to you. Therefore, when the heart is given to God, it is giving to him a gift which he has already purchased and is his own. When it runs through your mind that, "Oh, well, it's my life. I can do whatever I want. I can live however I want." I've had people say, "Well, it's my body. I can, you know," in regards to putting substances in it that shouldn't go or putting markings on it that maybe shouldn't be put. People I've heard say, "Well, it's my body. I can do what I want with it." Don't forget, you're bought with a price. And Jesus loves you so much. He wants you to live abundantly. And he wants you to have that wonderful gift, the freedom from bondage. Have you received a gift lately that you've got stored up, that you're ready to re-gift to someone else? I believe we all do. And the best one that we have, the best gift that we have, is the gift that Christ gave. It's the one that James 1 tells us is a good gift. It's the perfect gift. The greatest thing about it is we can regift it over and over and over again, and guess what? Still keep it for ourselves. It hasn't cost us anything, and it never will. And yet, it is more valuable than anything that you could pick up at Walmart or Meijer or the mall. Won't you do a little regifting this year?
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.